Good morning. So my name is Tim Phillips. I'm the interim youth leader here at Creekside. But just a little bit, the reason why I'm up here today is that Sean and Steve are actually, they're out looking around with, talking with other churches, just regards to further insight on church planning and leadership. And so I would love to keep, for you guys to keep them in prayer as they're doing that. They're wanting to kind of build a leadership idea in the church here. And so I think we're going to just open up right now. We'll pray for that and then pray this morning as we get started. So, Lord, we come before you and we thank you so much for the work that you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have salvation through your work on the cross. And we thank you that you love us and you care for us and you've prepared this day for us. So we pray for Sean and Steve as they're out doing the work that you have set them to do this weekend and that you would give them insight for our body. And I pray for this message, Lord, as your word goes forward, that it would be from your spirit, Lord, and it would be through me. So we thank you so much. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the service today is going to be a little bit different than normal. And so part of that is just because of one of the things that our family has been very passionate about over the last few years is missions. And so our hope is to go out and do missions work here in the future if the Lord wills. And as we've been kind of planning that and training and doing all these different things, one of the things that we've been told is that the majority of the world that we live in doesn't really do a lot of their learning through books, through like lectures or through reading. A lot of it is through oral storying. So about 80% of the world learns through orality. And so what that does is it kind of changes the whole way that we kind of view scripture or view like how it's learned or how it's taken in. And so kind of with that, I thought it would be a good thing for you guys to kind of see what that looks like. So when we go overseas, this is largely what we will be doing, how we will be teaching the Bible, how we'll be talking to people because they learn more this way. And so what I wanted to do was kind of give a broad overview of what Jesus has taught, his disciples. And so from Luke into Acts, it's all written by Luke. And so it's kind of this continuation of a story. And so what I want to do is kind of give this broad overview of that. And so what I kind of want to do first is set the stage. We all know the story, but Jesus was born, came down to earth. All these Old Testament prophets were fulfilled with his coming. And so we see that that's kind of where we're starting with. And so Jesus is born. It's this miraculous thing, and the nations have, and people are in awe of it. So here's the word of the Lord. So Mary and Joseph, what they did is they walked into the temple on the eighth day after Jesus was born, because this was the custom that took place that the Jews were supposed to do, is have their firstborn circumcised on the eighth day. So Jesus was brought to the temple with Mary and Joseph, and as they get there, there's a man who is there waiting, and his name is Simeon. And he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And so by the Spirit, he was brought to the temple that day, and he was waiting, and Mary and Joseph came in. And so he sees them, and he sees Jesus. And so he grabs Jesus, and he's holding Jesus, and he blesses God. And he says, "My eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared for all people, the light of salvation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." So he blesses Jesus, and Mary and Joseph are just amazed at this. They're shocked because they weren't expecting it. And so this is something that's it's so overwhelming to them. And so years later, we see Jesus enters in his ministry. And what he does is he goes to Nazareth and he goes into the temple or into the synagogue. And as he gets there, the attendant gives him the scroll. And he takes the scroll, and what he does is he stands up and he opens it up. And he opens it up. It's the book of Isaiah. And he opens it up to this spot. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So he finished. He rolled the scroll back up and he gave it to the attendant. And he sat down. And now everybody in the synagogue was looking at him. And so what he did was he said, "Today, all of you here have witnessed that scripture fulfilled." So people were amazed at this. And they said, "Isn't this just Joseph's son? He's from here. We know him." And he said, "I'm sure you'll quote this parable to me that says, 'Doctor, heal yourself. the things that you've done in Capernaum, do those here in Nazareth. And Jesus said, a prophet has no honor in his own home. I will tell you this, that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. But he went to none of them. Instead, he went to the area of Zarephath in Sidon, to a Gentile woman. And there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha, but he healed none of them. Instead, he went to one man in Syria, Naaman, the Gentile, and he was healed. And at this, the people of the synagogue were so furious at this. They were so mad that they got up and they started shouting and they were pushing Jesus out of the synagogue. And they pushed him out of the town to this hill and they were ready to throw him off the cliff. But Jesus made his way through the crowd and left. And then he went to Simon Peter's house. And now Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever, so she couldn't get up. And so what Jesus did was he healed her. And so she got up and she attended to them. And then at that day, everybody from the city brought all of their sick and all of their lame and all of their demon-possessed to Jesus. And so Jesus was healing them and casting demons out all night long. And in the morning, he got up and he went to a secluded place to pray. And as he was praying, the people of the city wanted him to stay in that city with them. And so they went looking for him and trying to find him. And they found him. And when they found him, he said, I must preach the gospel to all these other cities. For that is the reason why I've come, to preach the good news to everyone. So as he was going out after that, he came upon a tax collector. And there's this man sitting in his tax collecting booth. And his name was Levi. And so Jesus said, follow me. And so Levi left his tax collecting booth and he got up and followed Jesus. And he was filled with so much joy that he threw a party for Jesus. And this party had all of his friends there. And all of his friends were tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. And all of the Pharisees that were looking at this saw Jesus with them and they were disgusted. They said, why is he with these sinners? And Jesus said to him, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, right? It's the sick. I didn't come to save those that thought they were righteous. I came to save the sinners. And so then later, another time, him and the disciples got into a boat and they crossed the Sea of Galilee. And as they got across, they got to the other side, to the land of the Gerasenes. And when they got there, Jesus stepped out on the land. A man came running down to them. And this man had no clothes on. And in fact, he hadn't had clothes for years. He was possessed by demons. And the people of the city wanted to restrain him, so they would put shackles on his arms and his legs and try to keep him from running and screaming around, but he broke the chains. And then the demons would drive him out into the desert, and he would scream and he would yell. And so Jesus comes to this place, and this man runs to Jesus, and he says, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please do not torment me, because Jesus had called the demon out of the man. And so Jesus had asked the demon his name, and he said, my name is Legion, because there were so many demons in this one man. And so Jesus had called them out, and they said, please do not cast us into the abyss. Let us go into this herd of pigs. So Jesus allowed it, and they went into this herd of pigs, and this herd of pigs ran off this cliff, and they all died. Now the herdsmen that saw this were very afraid, and they ran into the city and they told everybody, and all these people came out. And what they saw was this man who had been demon possessed for years, completely clothed, completely in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so they were afraid at this because they didn't know what was going on. And they asked Jesus to leave their city, leave their area. And so Jesus did. As he was walking back to the boat, the man who was healed ran after Jesus and begged him, please, let me come with you. I want to follow you. But Jesus told him, I want you to go back to your town, back to your family, and you tell them what Jesus had done for you. And so this man who had been possessed by demons, driven crazy by them, now completely sane, went back to his family and shared the amazing news of Jesus and what he had done for him. And so Jesus was walking again, and he came up to a man, and this man said, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you will go. So the man said, Jesus said, okay, well, I have to tell you that foxes, they have dens they can go to. And birds of the air, they have nests that they can stay in. But the Son of Man, I have no place to lay my own head. So he went to another man and he told this man, follow me. So this man said, oh, I will, Jesus, I will. But first, I need to bury my father. Let me bury my father. Now, it's possible that his father had died and he wanted to bury him and fulfill his duties as a son. It's also possible and very common in cultures like that, that he didn't want his father to know that he was following Jesus. He thought it would be shameful. So he said, wait for my father to die, and then I'll bury him, and then I'll follow you, Jesus. Whatever the case, Jesus told this man, let the dead deal with their own dead. As for you, you go out and proclaim the gospel of Christ. So another man, Jesus came up to him, and he said, follow me. And this man said, oh, I will, but first let me go back to my family. Please let me go back. And so Jesus said to him, anyone who puts their hands to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. And so late after that, Jesus gathered 70 of his disciples. And he said to these men, he said, go out into the cities, all of these cities around that I'm preparing to go to. And you go, say to whatever house you come to, peace on this house. Because what I want you to do is there's a harvest and it is plentiful, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the harvest and reap the harvest. So he said, you go into these cities, prepare them and say peace to this house. And if they accept your peace, that person is a person of peace. Eat whatever they give you, drink whatever they give you, heal their sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to this house. Now, if anybody does not let you in and they don't accept your peace, shake the dust off your feet. Because if somebody listens to you, they'll listen to me. But if somebody doesn't listen to you, they won't listen to me. And if they don't listen to me, they will not listen to the Father. And so then Jesus after he was talking, a man stood up and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, what does the scripture say? How do you read it? And the man says, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yes, go and do that. So the man, wanting to justify himself, he said, well, who's my neighbor then? And Jesus told him this story. He said, there was a man who was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was walking along this way. And as he was walking, he came upon some robbers, and these robbers beat him up, stole everything, and left him for dead. And so, luckily, a priest came walking. And he probably was even coming from the temple. And as he was walking, he sees this man laying there, almost dead. But doing nothing, he crosses the other side of the road, and he just passes by. Now, another man came along. He was a Levite, so also probably from the temple. And he was walking down, and he sees this man. This is his own countryman. And yet he still just ignores him and walks by. Now, there was a Samaritan who had been on a long journey. And he comes along, and he's on his way, and he sees this man. And his heart is broken with compassion. What he does is he goes down, and he gathers this man up, he binds his wounds, he grabs his own wine and oil and he pours it on this man. And then he reaches down and he grabs this man and he puts it on his own horse, his own donkey. And they walk to the inn and he puts him in the inn, stays with him that night. And then as he leaves, he tells the man at the inn, the innkeeper, he says, whatever this man's needs, give to him. When I return, I will pay everything he owes. So Jesus asks those around him, he says, Who was the man's neighbor? And the teacher of the law said, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, you're right. I want you to go out, and I want you to do the same. There was another time where Jesus was at a party, and it was a party thrown by Pharisees. And so he was looking around at all the people that were at this party, and they were all wealthy, self-righteous teachers of the law. And as he was looking at them, he told them this story. He said, there was a man who was a master of a house, and he said, I'm going to throw a feast, and I want all these people invited. So he sent out invitations. So then when it was ready, he had a servant. He said, please go and tell all these people that this feast is ready. So he went to the first man, And he said, "Sir, the feast is ready. Come and enjoy it." And the man goes, "Oh, you know what? Oh, I just bought some land. I should go look at that. I can't come. I'm sorry. Please excuse me." So then he goes to the next man and he says, "The feast is ready. Come." And that man says, "Oh, you know what? I just bought some oxen and I really need to take a look at them to make sure they're okay. So please excuse me as well." And the third man, he said, "Please come." And the man said, "Oh, you know what? I just got married. I'm not going to come." So the servant told the master this, and the master was furious. And he said, "Go out into the cities, into the streets, into the alleys, and call people to come into my house, because my house will be filled. Go to the sick, go to the lame, go to the blind, the crippled, and call them into my house." So the servant did that, and there was still room. So the master said, "Go out into the outskirts, to where the outsiders are, the people that are outcasts, that nobody wants. Call them into my house. My house will be filled." But those who were called that didn't come, they will never be invited. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was walking through this town of Jericho. And so what he had been doing, all this had drawn all this attention, and everybody wanted to see him. So there's this huge crowd there. And what had happened was there was a man in that city that really wanted to see Jesus. And so when he got there, he wanted to find Jesus. But the problem was he was short. His name was Zacchaeus, and he couldn't see. So no matter what he did, he couldn't see Jesus. And so what he ended up doing was he ran ahead to a sycamore tree. And he climbed the sycamore tree, and he's up on this branch, and he's watching as Jesus is coming down the path. And what Jesus does is, instead of continuing on the path, he veers from this path. And he goes to this tree, and he's standing at the bottom of the tree, and he calls up to Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house today. I need to." Now, the people in the crowd this was ridiculous. They knew him. He was a chief tax collector. He was a sinner, a wicked man. Why would Jesus go to his house? They were so angry. And yet Zacchaeus came down and he went with Jesus. He went to his house, and later he said, "Jesus, anything I have, I will give half of what I own to the poor. And if I've ever cheated anybody out of anything, I will give them back four times as much." And what Jesus says is, today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus is now a child of Abraham. And then he said to the rest of the people there, he said, "The Son of Man has come to seek out and to save the lost." And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's walking to Jerusalem, he knows full well what is awaiting for him. He's been telling the disciples this whole time, "I must go to my death, and I will die, and I will raise again 3 days." But they didn't understand him. And so Jesus gets to Jerusalem. It's triumphal entry. He gets in there. Everybody's excited. The next week, he shares a Passover meal with his disciples. And they eat, and he explains all these things to them again. And then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying in the garden, just like we read this morning. He's praying in the garden. And then Judas comes, and he betrays him with a kiss. And the guards take him into custody, and they take him to the temple, or to the teachers of the law. And as he's there, they mock him, and they beat him, they humiliate him. And then they put him on a cross, and they crucify him. And now all these people are mocking him, saying, "He saved others. How come he can't save himself?" And there was two men on either side of him that were also crucified. And the one man was a criminal on this side, and he was screaming at Jesus, yelling, "You said you were the Messiah. Save yourself, so you can get me off of this cross." But the man over here, he was there on the cross, and he yelled at the first man, saying, "Do you not even fear God? We deserve every ounce of what we've been given. We are criminals. We deserve this. He's deserved none of it." And then he said to Jesus, "Please, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then at that point, he said, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." And so he died, and he was put into the tomb for 3 days. And all the disciples and all the people lost hope. They thought this was the one that was going to bring this kingdom, and they forgot all these things. And so the third day came, and he rose again. And even he saw Mary, and he told Mary, and she went out to tell people, but they still didn't believe. And there was these two men walking along the road, and he came to them, but they didn't recognize him. And they were trying to talk about these things, and they're like, we don't get it. Like, why did Jesus die? And he said to them, don't you see that the Christ had to die before he came into his glory? And so he started at Moses and started talking about all these prophets spoke about Jesus, and then about his death and about the resurrection and all these things. And then they shared a meal together. And as soon as he broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they saw that it was Jesus, but he was taken away. And then he goes to his disciples and he appears to them and he shows them his hands and his feet and his side. And what he tells them is, he says, you are my witnesses of all these things. I'm going to give you the gift that the Father is going to give you, the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive it. And before he ascended into heaven, he said to them that you are my witnesses to everyone in Jerusalem, in the city, into Judea, the state, into Samaria, the next city over, and into the ends of the earth. And at that point, he ascended into heaven. So the disciples, they waited in Jerusalem. And there was a point where they were in a giant room, and there was 120 of them, and they were all worshiping and praising God. And this wind came through. It was this mighty wind from heaven. And these tongues of fire were above the disciples' heads, and they began speaking languages they have never spoken before. Now, it was the Passover, so there was all these people from countries all over the place that came to Jerusalem for this day. And they were hearing for the first time the wonderful news of Jesus in their mother tongue. And they were astonished at this because they said, aren't these just they're from Galilee. How do they know our language? And so Peter stands up and gives this sermon that talks about the prophets that spoke of Jesus and how Jesus was died and he was buried and he rose again and God raised him up. And that now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And all the people that heard this were so convicted to the heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized. And so they did. 3,000 people that day were added to the faith. And so what happened then was amazing. People were gathering together in each other's houses. What they would do is people that had like plots of land, they sold that. And they took the money to the apostles and said, you give to whoever has need. And then people would meet together in the temples every day. They would gather together with each other in their homes. They would eat together. They'd study the apostles' teachings. They prayed with one another. It was this amazing thing. And then they stoned Stephen. He was in the temple and he was speaking about how the Spirit of God is in us. He doesn't live in a house, in a building made by hands. He's in us. We have the Spirit of God. And they hated it. And they killed him. And there was this giant exodus where all these people left Jerusalem. The only people left in Jerusalem were actually the apostles. So all these people left and spread out all over. And Philip was down in Samaria. And he was speaking to people and he was proclaiming the gospel. And he started heading back up towards Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit said, no, go back south. So he turned around and he went back south. And he was walking and there was a caravan. And the Holy Spirit said, go, catch to the caravan. So he ran to the caravan. And there was a man from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch that was in the service of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And not only that, he was reading a scroll of Isaiah. Huh. And so Philip comes up to him and he goes, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? If you understand, please join me. Explain this. And so he sits there on the seat next to him and they read this passage. It says that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will speak of his descendants? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the Ethiopian said, is this man speaking of himself or somebody else? And so Philip started back with the Old Testament prophets and spoke of all the things that talked about Jesus and then about Jesus and how he died for us and that God raised him up from the dead and that we have salvation through him. And so they came upon some water and the Ethiopian said, look, there's water. What stops me from being baptized? And so Philip said, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so they stopped the caravan and they all got out and they baptized this man and he rose from the water and he was rejoicing and Philip was taken away. And then another time, Peter, he was staying at a friend's house, Simon the Tanner, and he was staying there and he was hungry and he ended up taking a nap, and as he took this nap, he fell into this trance and he saw this vision of a sheet being lowered down from heaven. And in the sheet was all these animals. They were all unclean animals. And so the voice said, Peter, take and eat. And he said, no, Lord, no unclean thing has ever crossed my mouth. And God said, whatever God has called holy is to never be rejected as unclean. So when he woke up, the Spirit told him that there's three men waiting for him downstairs. So he goes down and the Spirit had told him to follow these men. So the next day they go to their master's house. And this master was, he was an officer in the Roman army. His name was Cornelius. And so what had happened was he gets there and Peter tells them all. He says, you understand that it is against the Jewish law for me to be here with you. But I know that God has called me here. And at that point, Cornelius said, I have had a dream. And this dream said, go get Simon Peter, who's staying at Simon the Tanner's house, and bring him here. And so at this point, Peter knew that God was doing something with the Gentiles here. And so he opened his mouth. And as he opened his mouth, he just began to preach the gospel and talk about Jesus. And as he was doing that, the Holy Spirit fell on this place. And all of these people household began to speak in tongues. And everybody that was with Peter, that were circumcised, were just baffled at this. Because here, uncircumcised men speaking in tongues. And Peter thought, how can I withhold baptism from them? They've received the same Spirit that we have received. And so that day, Cornelius and his whole household was baptized. Gentiles. And so what had happened was, is that the gospel had gone to Jerusalem. And it had gone to Judea. It went to Samaria. And it continues to go to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. So what do we do with stories like this? Like, we've just heard this kind of overarching thing, the story that kind of paints this picture of what Jesus has done and what he wants to do and where he wants to take us. And so what do we do with that? And so one thing, after all of this, we're going to actually get together in groups and we're going to talk a little bit about some of these things. And I want you to think about a few questions. And so we're going to put them up on the screen. Questions that say, what does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about man? And what am I going to do with what God has shown me today? What am I going to do with that? So I'll be thinking of those questions. But again, in light of all this overarching story that we see, how does this apply to us? And we've seen Jesus, we've seen him seeking the lost, we've seen him loving his neighbor, and we've seen him making disciples. And so he's called us to go out and preach the gospel to the entire nation. Now that seems huge for us. But think about it for the disciples. There's 120 people on the day of Pentecost that they've been called to go and reach the nation. And it is a huge ask. But he has promised them the Holy Spirit. And he's modeled everything to them. He's shown them what it looks like to reach the lost. He's shown them what it looks like to truly love his neighbor and how to make disciples. And so the disciples knew Jesus pretty much the most. I mean, they were with him for 3 years. They watched everything he did. They knew his mannerisms. They knew how he ate, how he walked, how he spoke. And they even knew some deeper things about him. We hear Peter that knows that you are the Christ, right? He's revealed some things, but they don't know him fully. And so then it says that right before he ascended, Jesus opened their minds to be able to see what the scriptures had said about them, about him. And then he was able to, they understood what he had said in the past about him dying and raising again. And so they knew him a little bit better. But then once they received the Holy Spirit, they have the Spirit of God within them. And so, like it says, that the Holy Spirit testifies with my spirit that we are children of God. They have that. And so now they know God even more. And so, how does this kind of apply to us, though? What? How do we seek out the lost? And how do we love our neighbors? And how do we make disciples? And so there's three things that I'd like to talk about. And so one of them is know Jesus well. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what the Bible says about him, what he's commanded us to do, and we need to obey that. And then we need to know the stories that he's told or the stories that are told about him. These things about him and the Samaritan woman at the well or the prodigal son. Just knowing these things, because when we know those stories, we know his character. And we know things about him, and we know what he's called us to do and who he's been. Second one is to live in the Holy Spirit. By this I mean we have the Spirit of the living God within us. And so we have this Spirit in us, and he's the one that's showing us where to go and what to do. And so to walk in that. And thirdly is to depend upon the power of God. The God that's created the universe is guiding us and is leading us. And so we need to know that he will always be with us and he will never forsake us. It's the same when he told the 12 disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. After he said that, he said, I will be with you to the end of the age. So we have the power of God in us. And so we are no longer like the disciples. We're not at all like the disciples once before Jesus had died, when they didn't fully understand. They didn't know what he was truly talking about. They had thought that there was going to be an earthly kingdom. But then after Pentecost, they had this revelation that Jesus was preparing this heavenly kingdom. And that's what the kingdom of God is. And so we have that same understanding. We are like those disciples after Pentecost. And so it's easy to kind of see the shortcomings of them beforehand. We see, you know, that they didn't understand things, or they wanted to call fire down from heaven on people, or Peter had his foot in his mouth most of the time. But the thing was, is that this was before they fully knew these things, before the Holy Spirit. But now afterwards, they stood boldly and proclaimed the gospel to everyone they saw. They weren't worried about what may happen. They just wanted to preach the gospel. And so they had been completely changed. And 2 Peter 1:1-3, we'll put it up on the screen here. But this is Peter who's talking. And so he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ Jesus, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you and in the knowledge of God and of our Savior and Lord. See that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. And so Peter is telling us this, that, I mean, he was the one that was kind of rough around the edges at best, right? Afterwards, he stood in boldness, talking to the very people that crucified Jesus, telling all these things. And so he's saying that, first of all, the same faith that they have is what we have. We have that same faith. The same Spirit that was in them is in us. And so that we can stand boldly. But the wonderful thing about this is that he says we've been granted everything we need for life and godliness. So the moment somebody is taken out of the domain of darkness and put into the kingdom of his beloved Son, instantly has everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And so it's comforting to know that. And another verse that talks about, we read it earlier today, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the message of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making an appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And so, just as the disciples were completely changed from before Jesus to then after they received the Holy Spirit, we too have this new identity. As soon as we become believers, the old is gone and the new has come. And that we are able to go out and with the same, it says that as God reconciled us through Christ to him, we are now given that same mission, that same ministry of reconciling the people of our city, the people of our state to Jesus. We become that avenue that God is using. And so also it says that we are the ambassadors. We are his spokesmen. And so one of the things is we are able to go out to everyone around us and proclaim the good news that Jesus had done for us. Just as the man who was healed of many demons went back to his city and his town and family and proclaimed the good news. And now, one of the things that another translation says that we beg you on behalf of Jesus to be reconciled to Christ. And so, I wonder, do we have that same passion to our neighbors, to our family, to our coworkers? Just like the Samaritan that saw this man almost dead and he just broke with compassion. Do we have that same compassion to want to reach the lost, to want to make disciples? And it's easy to doubt the ability that God has given us to preach to people, to talk to people, to share the good news because we're afraid or we're scared. But rejoice in the fact that it says that the same power, the same spirit who rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. That's something to rejoice over, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry because God is giving us the power to do that. He gives us the passion, the desire to reach those. And it's not of our own ability. It's he gives us that ability. Just as the disciples stood up and did that, as Philip was able to run after this carriage, we have that same spirit. And so we must know Jesus well. We must live in the Holy Spirit, and we must depend upon the power of God. So I'm gonna ask you this question: who's been to a campfire or around a campfire before? So when you leave that campfire, do people know where you've been? Because you smell like smoke, right? So my question is do we smell like Jesus? Do we have that aroma? And it's when we do those things, when we live in the Spirit, when we know Jesus, know the stories he told, and that becomes our passion, we begin to have that smell, right? And so there's one more story I want to tell, and it brings all this together. It's Peter and John, they were going to the temple, and they met this lame man, and they healed him. And once they healed him, there was this big uproar, and the teachers of the law arrested him. They brought them, and they questioned him, and they said, how did you do this? And Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, boldly stood up, and he said, it wasn't us who healed this man. It was Jesus who healed this man, the one who you crucified, but who God rose from the dead. He was the stone that was rejected, but became the chief cornerstone. And by his name, people can be saved. No other name under heaven can that happen. And so it says that the priests observed, or the Pharisees observed the confidence of Peter and John. And they understood that they were uneducated, untrained men. But they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And so they smelled like Jesus. And so we have that power in us through the Holy Spirit. It's not our own. It's His power. And the other thing is we're not alone in this. We have the Spirit of God in us. But look around, church. We have each other. Everyone here who loves Jesus has that desire to say, we want Jesus to be known. And so we can be an encouragement to one another in this effort. That as we endeavor to seek out the lost, to love our neighbors, and to make disciples, we can encourage one another. And that's the beauty of what happened after Pentecost, this huge movement where people just devoted themselves to each other, devoted themselves to prayer, to meeting together, to loving one another unconditionally. That's what we have in this body. And so what I want to do now is I want to take some time and just talk with one another about this. Get into groups of like 3 to 5 people and talk about these questions that we'll put back up on the board. Is what does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about man? And what am I going to do today with what God has shown us? So I know this is a little different, but it's something that this is how we can learn, is we can talk about these things. We can pray with one another about what we feel like God is showing us and how we're going to obey that. So let's take some time, about 6 to 7 minutes, and just get together and just talk about these things. And then we'll get back together and we'll sing our last song. So go ahead and do that, and I'll call you guys back up when it's time. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you have given us your Spirit, that you've entrusted us this ministry of reconciliation, that we have the opportunity to go out and be your ambassadors. We pray, Lord, that we would do that well, that we would know you well. We pray, Lord, that you would open the ears of the people that are around us, Lord, that you would give us understanding and wisdom to be able to speak truth into those lives. We thank you for today, that we can gather together as fellow believers and unite under your banner. We pray, Lord, that as we go from here, that you would take these things and put them to action. Lord, that you would inspire us and encourage us to be your witnesses. So I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you guys have any questions or if you need prayer, there will be some people up here that will pray for you. And if you have anything else, you